Welcome to International Trade Minute Quick Fire Trade News, your go-to source for the latest happenings in global commerce. Kickstarting this episode with insights into the world of international trade laws, disputes, and partnerships that shape the economic landscape. Stay with us as we delve into today's top stories, each offering a unique perspective on the policies, legal decisions, and trade dynamics that affect countries, businesses, and individuals alike. Whether it's a court ruling that sets a precedent or an unexpected trade route sparking controversy, we'll give you a concise analysis of what it all means for the world of international trade.
In a recent and intriguing decision from the Court of International Trade, the legal classification of a seemingly mundane product, planners incorporated with calendars, has been put under the judiciary microscope, resulting in a verdict that stresses the significance of linguistic uniformity in international trade law. The goods in question, brought into dispute by importer Blue Sky, the color of imagination, encompass a variety of weekly and monthly planners that are capable of more than just date tracking. They allow for expansive note-taking, addressing, and even telephone number recording. Blue Sky contested that these items, because of their calendar pages, ought to be classified under the tariff code for calendars. However, Customs and Border Protection argued for a different classification, one that encompasses a broader range of paper goods. Surfacing at the heart of the matter was the need for cohesion between the English and French translations of the harmonized tariff schedule. Judge Jane Rastani made it clear that interpretations of this schedule should be consistent across its different linguistic versions, both of which hold equal weight as treaty texts. The court hinged its decision on the premise that terms used within the harmonized system must resonate with the common core language for trade. In doing so, the British and American definitions of relevant terms were considered, not excluding the French where relevant. Ultimately, the court ruled that these planners are better classified as diaries, aligning them within the harmonized tariff schedule's subheading for such items. Enveloping the judgment was a thoughtful interplay between different understandings of the term diaries and its French counterpart agendas, with both leaning towards an inclusive definition that captures the multifaceted nature of these planners. Beyond its immediate implications for Blue Sky and the associated tariff codes, the decision underscores a broader principle within international trade law, that the language we use within such codes must remain consistent and harmonized, transcending dialectal nuances to uphold a unified trade system. Disappointment, as expected, was voiced by Blue Sky's counsel, given the probable increase in import duties, a reminder that these classification decisions carry significant economic weight. These nuances, seemingly slight to the untrained eye, delineate the frontiers of cost and compliance for companies engaged in global commerce. In a noteworthy address, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas cast a critical spotlight on the de minimis rule during his speech at the National Council of Textile Organizations' annual meeting. The de minimis rule, long-standing in trade regulation, permits the entry of low-value shipments without the need for rigorous customs duties or extensive procedures, hinged on the assumption that such goods carry low risk. However, breaking from traditional belief, Secretary Mayorkas contested this rule's premise, suggesting that the correlation drawn between low value and low risk is based on a false premise. Secretary Mayorkas, who acknowledged the significant insights gained from his interactions with the NCTO, illuminated the undue impacts of illicit activities on the textile industry. He underscored the Department of Homeland Security's dedication to upholding the law, not solely to bring offenders to justice, but also to ensure a fair and competitive marketplace for all industry players. This stance falls amid intensive lobbying efforts from NCTO, aimed at the executive branch and congressional representatives, to push for policy revisions, specifically the exclusion of textiles from de minimis eligibility. Following these advocacy campaigns, the House Select Committee on China urged the administration to consider the NCTO's propositions. Ted Murphy, from Sidley Austin, shed light on the prevailing climate, noting that the administration is indeed shaping its trade enforcement priorities, influenced by insights from Congress and industry stakeholders. He pointed out that apparel importers with trade agreements or those with Chinese content are expected to face intensified scrutiny under these evolving enforcement standards. Mayorkas's declarations go beyond mere rhetoric. They signify a decisive shift towards more stringent oversight in the textile sector and send a clear message to the industry. The perception of risk in trade is changing, and with it, so must the collective approach towards compliance and regulation. As we unravel these comments, it's clear that for those in the textile and apparel industry, times are changing, and the lens through which de minimis is viewed is undergoing a significant refocus. Turning to a rather unusual story, we delve into the realm of memorabilia and find its intersection with ethical conduct and government property. In a case that has certainly raised eyebrows, Alan Nordman, a former employee of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, found himself on the wrong side of the law after auctioning off a slice of pop culture history that wasn't his to sell. Nordman's item of choice was no ordinary piece of paper. It was a customs declaration form adorned with the signature of none other than the king of pop, Michael Jackson. An artifact that would be deemed priceless to many fans fetched Nordman $795 on eBay, a modest sum for an object bearing the mark of music royalty, but the sale came at a high cost to Nordman. The significance of this case isn't solely in the striking contrast between the mundanity of a customs form and the glamour of a celebrity autograph. It serves as a stern reminder of the value and sensitive nature of government records. These documents aren't just paper. They're trusted to civil servants and held under the expectation of privacy and propriety. The U.S. District Court for the Western District of North Carolina handed down its judgment, 1 year of probation for Nordman. Furthermore, he was instructed to forfeit his interest in the customs form, closing the chapter on this episode of Temptation Turned Transgression. This case underscores the importance of ethical stewardship of government records. Regardless of how tantalizing the opportunity to profit might seem, the legal and moral obligations bound to such items are indisputable. As intriguing as the story is, it ultimately acts as a cautionary tale, highlighting the responsibilities that come with handling official documents and the consequences of disregarding them. In an intriguing development that has taken industry analysts by surprise, Gabon, a country not renowned for its aircraft manufacturing capabilities, has found itself at the center of an unexpected trade narrative. Russian customs data reveals a staggering $1.5 billion worth of aircraft parts have been imported from Gabon, forming a significant portion of Russia's total import of $2 billion in this category. This unusual trade activity first came to light when batches of aircraft parts began to arrive in Russia from Gabon in August last year. These imports are not just trivial components. Among the list are essential items commonly used in Boeing and Airbus aircraft, ranging from simple oxygen masks and washers to high-end commodities such as used engines, the latter alone valued at nearly $58 million. What raises eyebrows is the association of these parts with Russian entities bearing the hallmarks of shell companies, a situation that beacons a cautionary tale for the global aircraft industry. This scenario highlights not just the shrewd evasion of sanctions, but also the immense risks that companies might face when oversight is lax. The implications of this trade route extend beyond the mere movement of parts. It serves as a pivotal reminder of the importance of watertight export compliance programs. For companies integral to the global supply chain of aircraft and their components, heightened vigilance in trade partnerships is no longer just advisable, but absolutely vital. The need to strengthen export compliance strategies takes on an overarching urgency in this context. Firms must ensure their internal operations are fortified against underhanded tactics that threaten both their reputational and fiscal health. The agenda is clear: maintain rigorous compliance checks and demand the same level of integrity from trade partners to navigate the complex and often testing waters of international trade law. This case out of Gabon acts as an admonition to those involved in the often tangled web of the aircraft parts trade. Transparent and ethical practices are not merely legal mandates. They are also strategic imperatives to shield your business against unseen perils. Let this serve as a stern lesson in international trade. Rigorous compliance is not simply a regulatory formality. It's a fundamental aspect of safeguarding the legitimacy and resilience of your enterprise. Thank you for tuning into International Trade Minute. Stay informed and vigilant in the world of trade and join us next time for more succinct insights into the complex web of global commerce. As the landscape of international trade continues to evolve, we'll be here to deliver the quickfire news and analysis you need. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for the latest updates. From tariffs to trade routes, we've got you covered. Until next time, keep trading smart and fair.